Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good, and you?
Great. Great.
All right. What's going on?
I have announcements to start us
off. All right.
If there's a place in your life where you feel stuck, our upcoming offering, Risk Getting Unstuck, a Socratic email class with Sherry, should be just the thing. Beginning this Saturday, January 31st, and over the course of 3 weeks, participants will be asked to write in about where they feel stuck, and the guide will respond to each person. The deadline to register is this Friday, January 30th, at 12 noon Pacific. And a period of time at a Longview farm is an invitation to find ourselves by restoring a connection to earth, sky, wind, water, and plants. This year, our farm stewardship program is inviting farmhands from Sangha who wish to participate and learn the practices of regenerative farming. This is an opportunity to reconnect with the miracles of nature, get your hands dirty, and provide assistance with the many tasks of farming. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
So, Michael, regarding that offering, there are quite a few of those slots that are already filled. So just so people know that.
Right. Good information. So many slots already filled in the Farm Stewardship Program.
Yeah. And we'll be updating the website just as quick as we can.
Okay. Got it. That sounds good. All right. And a few reminders for tonight, if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, and I would encourage you to do so, please press *6 and then 1 to make Gas Show. Conversation on one topic is great, and a length of about 5 minutes is great. And Sherry, tonight we are going to start with good news.
Well, that is good news.
It is good news. Keeps us on our toes, which is fabulous. So let's do that, Sherry, and then we'll come back and talk with our callers.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to talk with us about her experience of participating in the New Year's That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek retreat and how that's assisting with practice for the year. Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Jen. Well, talk about switching it up. We get to go first.
Right? We get to, I mean, on our toes, as Michael said. We get to be right here, ready.
I love it. Well, I saw so much in the New Year's retreat. I felt like I traveled through universes, and I am resisting the urge to try to cram it all into this little space. And I just thought, you know, let's just, you know, look at one thing. And then if there's space for that and there's space for something else, fine. But why rush things? There's no reason to rush.
I mean, that sounds like practice in action right there.
Oh, yes. And, you know, one of the things, I really got that, and I also got that through the Beginner's Mind Retreat. So much I feel like the teachings are kind of these meta messages through how things are done. Does that make sense?
Oh, total sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought of that when you were saying, you know, from conditioned mind's perspective, there's this limited amount of time to cram in all the things. But in reality, the one thing is everything. Whichever one thing.
Wow.
It's all of it.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
Isn't that great? Yeah, because in the guided images, you know, I just get the sense there's just space for everything. There's time. There's no need to rush. Just be here. And the big, you know, in quotes, just. Forget the just. Be here.
Yeah, yeah, Exactly. And as you say, that's kind of that the overarching teaching throughout all of it. And again, I think you alluded to this very much in the beginner's mind retreat. And actually, yeah, in the, that which you are seeking is causing you to see, kind of that format of getting to do a series of imageries with each one starting with that, you know, sit or lie back, make yourself comfortable, let everything go that's come before, be right here mm-hmm. with this right now. I mean, that's training right there, right? Mm-hmm. Just that one teaching is everything.
Well, yeah, because what I just saw when you said that is, and, you know, this isn't anything new, but it's like getting it on a deeper and deeper level each time, and it's that there isn't any place to go.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't anything to get. It's how more fully can I be here now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so it sounds like that both the New Year's retreat and the beginner's mind retreat have really been assisting you with that.
Yes, and one of the other mega messages I got from the New Year's retreat, which is, again, nothing new, but that just the seeping it in my pores is we must work out our own salvation diligently.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that we have, well, that we have one person to save, and just the way the retreat was structured that, you know, okay, here's an assignment, go work with it, do recording and listening around it, come back. It's like we're being invited into the work to do that for ourselves, not, okay, and this is always practice. I'm not handing you an answer. I'm inviting you to look for yourself.
Yeah.
Or the I is not the right pronoun to use there, but practice is not handing you an answer. Practice is inviting us to look for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So that structure of framing an exercise, and then you get to go off and have your own experience of that. Record and listen with it. Have that experience, come back, and then hear all the different jewels of how various folks in Sangha, what they've seen about it.
Yes, and I love how life is just, how everything weaves together so perfectly, because there was a peace quote, I think it was on Monday, that discipline is just remembering what you want.
And
that was one of the things I really, that seeped in for me on a deep level during the New Year's retreat, was that it's there's nothing wrong with us that we forget. You know, that what practice does is set up the blot dots or the whatever, the guidance or the tools to assist us to remember.
Go ahead.
No, that's just huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And that piece of, we're not going to remember all the time. To realize that's just part of it. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we're equipped with, you know, it's just like we always say when we're leaving retreat, you know, expect the backlash, expect that conditioned mind isn't just going to say, oh, okay, so you want to be here in the moment. Well, but that's good. You know, we'll let you alone to do that. No, you know, it's not going to go that way. And so equipped with that, that gives us the tools, especially the there is nothing wrong tool, right? Of, okay, got it. I was off. I remember now. And then, I mean, you know, very much what the beginner's mind retreat is looking at, right? The quote basics of practice that remind us of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just like I think Sherry said during the beginner's mind retreat is, you know, there's a whole campaign during every single day to make us go unconscious. And so what are the tools available to me to always remind me, remember to come back to here now? And I just loved that peace quote about the definition of discipline as it's remembering, you know, I want to eat healthy. I want to exercise. Exactly. I want to meditate. And so discipline is basically the structure that assists me to remember what I want to do.
Yeah, it's so good. And then when I remember that I want to do it, because the whole campaign in the conversation is, well, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Like the book, right? And if we don't remember, then that seems true and real. But then to remember, wait a minute, I do want to. I'm the one who chose this. This is what I'm choosing to focus on. And getting that support to be able to do that, to train to do that.
Yes, and that feeling, whether I feel like it or not, has nothing to do with it. Do I feel like brushing my teeth? Well, yeah. But I brush my teeth, you know?
Yeah. Because we're trained at a certain point, for most of us, with something like brushing the teeth. That's why we use that example. We've trained ourselves not to have that conversation. We're not going to debate about it. So then it's easy. It's, quote, easy. And all the things that are, quote, hard seem hard, but it's only because the conversation is making them hard. If we're just here and we have the same approach as the toothbrush thing, there might be interesting things to learn or challenges, or, but it's not hard. The only thing that's making it hard is that we forget and we get talked into believing the conversation.
Yeah, that conversation in the head. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Well, I'm just so grateful for all the reminders that we can avail ourselves of. Just so incredibly grateful.
Yeah, me too. We're off to an amazing start already.
Yes, to just sit in the space and breathe, and that's enough. Yes, amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Anne. Thanks
Thank
for being
you,
with us.
Thank you, Jen. Go happy.
Go happy. And Michael, we will turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anne. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that was fun, Sherry.
That was. It really was. You know, one of the things that I loved most about that was the point that was made about how practice works. You know, practice offers us something, you know. Here's this. How about you look at this, and then you go and record and listen about what you saw.
Yes.
And then we talk about that. Yeah. And it's not, as the point was made, nobody's going to say, oh, no, that no, you had the wrong experience, Michael. The correct experience to have is no. And so the net result of that is we get to hear these just astonishing things from so many people because we're all the same and we're all different, right? We're not separate and we're different. And in that, we all have our own unique take on everything. And we get to learn about all of that in the conversations that follow. It's really a good thing. It's so counter to the way we were raised and then how society works. You know, there's a right answer. You either have it or you don't have it. If you have it, you're the right person. If you don't, you're the wrong person. And the whole thing is utter hogwash, which is what we get to see when we practice together.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And what I
it really is. Yeah.
Yes. And what I saw as you were describing that is that you practice invites us to have our own experience, which, as you said, it can be just such a foreign concept when we're trying to be the right person and come up with the right answer and pair what we think somebody wants rather than, what's going on with me?
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we hear that from people, right, who – and it takes such courage, right? And listening to a voice in the head saying, well, that's not it. Well, you don't know. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Don't say anything. For God's sake, don't tell them you're doing it wrong. And people, you know, hit the *6 and talk about their experience. And first of all, that reinforces for all of us that, yep, that happens. That's the kind of information that goes on inside our heads. And thank God we say it out loud because that lets all of us go, oh, yeah, me too. And then we get to hear what the voices in the head call your wrong experience. We get to hear that, and people are going, oh, wow, that's fascinating. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. So good. Yeah.
Me too. All right. Shall we kick this show off here?
Let's do it. Now it's all up to us, Michael. They have already done their part. Usually we do a little something, then they come in and we have it. But no, now it's all on us. So here we go.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
Fortunately, we have callers to rely on also.
Oh, thank God. Okay. All right. Very good.
All right. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Well, I was just having a variation on what you were just talking about. I'm like, I literally, right before I got unmuted, it was like, well, you could take yourself out of the queue right now. You could do it.
It's not too late. It's not too late. Even after you hear you're unmuted, you could pretend like you're not there.
Yeah, just quiet.
Yeah, they'll move on. Yeah.
There's been something that has been, I've been kind of struggling with. I'm just noticing the not wanting to talk about it, not like, you're fine, it's okay, don't, you know, like that.
And Laura, let me see if I'm with you on this. Don't talk about it out loud in practice.
Yeah.
Just talk about it with me when we're alone.
All the time.
then we can talk about it constantly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
What is it?
The content is that my partner, he's on a work visa, and a couple years ago he was in a situation where was looking like he was going to get maybe let go from his job. Well,
yeah.
Here we are again.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah. And just noticing everything that goes on for me around that.
And it's my understanding of how that process works. That's it, right? I mean, that leaves a person with no options. You're not in that job. You're not in this country. Is that?
Yeah, you have you know, a very short window to find another job or. So I think there is just that situation. Then I think it's partly triggering for me, I think, stuff with family of origin where, you know, I grew up with family members with mental illness and depression. And so being around someone who's seemingly unhappy is struggling.
Yeah.
I think I tend to go to a place of like believing I need to fix it. It's my responsibility. If I'm not fixing it, I'm letting
it
down.
Fault. Yeah.
And I can see intellectually that I really have no control over this whole, his job situation, but it's like, okay, if I just remind him to do this and give him the right advice about that, and if I, you know, like, just kind of.
Mm-hmm. If I just go to work with him and help him do his job. Yeah.
I think you said before, it's like, if I just hold my mouth right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, and I think it also has brought up, you know, how am I feeling about the relationship, and because I think and so I feel a little bit caught between, on the one hand, worried he'll lose his job and leave and all this, but then also if we were in that situation, do I feel solid enough about the relationship that I would want to, you know, do something about that, or, you know,
which again really puts it on you.
That's true.
Right. I mean, that puts his whole future in your hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't seen it that way, but
I'm sorry, Laura.
I think that is the underlying meaning of it, but I hadn't seen the way that that's also taking on responsibility.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, the voices would have made it clear to you soon.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so how are you being with yourself over this?
Yeah, well, I feel like practice has been helping. One of the things that was talked about in some practice call at some point recently was about, like, being the grown-up. So that's kind of been helping. Like, the idea of, am I the grown-up? Am I being the grown-up here? Like, internally, you know?
Sense
of, like, the grown-up who knows, like, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens. He's going to be okay no matter what happens. Like, it's not, I guess, not in the conditional, really, you know?
Go ahead.
And then the other place I think that's come up a lot, like in two-handed recordings and stuff, is just, like, him struggling doesn't have to do with you. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to, you know, like,
Well, the one I was going to suggest is interviewing that one who feels so responsible, mostly because of the connection that you made. That probably is a very young person, right, who grew up feeling, I mean, we can only guess, tremendous responsibility for making sure people are all right. And her survival depended upon it, them being all right. And so I can't imagine that it's not pushing that button really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is.
And so that could be one of the really good things that comes out of this is if she gets brought into kind of center stage to be helped through this process so that getting to everybody will be all right regardless of how this turns out, she gets it that is the case and that she's not going to be somehow held responsible or accountable. Or what? It's not. She's not going to get the blame if it goes in the way people don't want it to go.
I think I keep reminding, like, this. It has been helpful, even though I can't really see how yet. It's like that reminder of, like, this is here to as a gift for my awakening.
Hard to picture that sometimes. And yet, with these kinds of things, we can see that it is, right? Mm-hmm. Because those voices that want to get you alone and torture you about this 24 hours a day, we want to get to the other side of that, right? And so, and we see it, that where the stakes just get higher and higher and higher until, this is big. Mm-hmm. And the requirement is the same, for you to be there in unconditional love for you and for your partner, regardless. It's not easy, though. Doesn't make it any easier, does it?
No. Well, I think it being able to share it does make it easier.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so hear yourself say that, okay? So that the next time those voices want you not to reach out for whatever support you need, either in this kind of venue or any other, don't listen to them because you know they're not on your side.
Yeah.
And so, taking care of the human being is just the highest priority always. And it's so interesting, isn't it, Laura? Because the more intense or the higher the stakes or however we want to talk about it, the more devoted those voices are to isolating us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So if it's just a little something with a okay, go ahead, you can talk about that. But if it's something really big and really difficult, well, you need to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to see through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah. Stay close, huh?
Okay, thank you.
And do let us know. Please do let us know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Laura, I cannot mute you. So if you could call back in and mute yourself, that would be great. And Sherry?
She did.
Here.
Yeah. Got somebody else?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Double muted, perhaps.
Hi, this is Chris calling from Massachusetts.
Hey, there he is. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. Hi, Sherry. Okay, so I have taken out the earbuds that were getting in the way.
All right. Very good. Well, you sound good. You sound good.
So I can really relate, and it feels like, you know, I'm just right with this whole call so far. So I've been working with a lot of fear. I think probably in the background since like a year ago, or around this time last year. But it has become unavoidable. Like it is relentless at this point.
Mm. Is there content or is this kind of generalized?
Yeah, it's a mix. So it globs onto different content, and I think just the current everything that's happening in the country has been enough fuel to kind of keep it going as like believable and real enough.
Well, it is.
Yes.
You know, that, yeah. Right? That, I mean, this is one of the, you know, my line of you can trust your feelings. I mean, we can trust our feelings on that, right? Mm-hmm. It is scary what's going on. And so there is that, but what I'm sensing from what you're saying is you feel like this is just an opportunity for that fear to be exacerbated, or how we would say that.
Oh, that's exactly what it feels like, that there's enough believable, real, serious content, but then conditioning just takes it and makes a whole meal and many more out of it.
Yeah. And so, Chris, how does it manifest? How does it show up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a good example is it'll follow like kind of like an equation, like the worst case is around the corner. And it's bound to, like, it's inevitable. Like, it's kind of what it...
Yeah. What so it, it's a, yeah. like a dread.
Yeah.
A dread feeling. Yeah. Yeah. So this is bad. Right? It's mm-hmm. bad now, but it's going to be intolerable. It's okay. You're handling this, but mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to handle that.
Yeah, it is exactly like that, that there's going to be a situation in the future that I will just not be able to handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can only guess there are a lot of sensations that go with it, sensations in the body.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sensations? And also, like at work today, I noticed, and this is a thing I've seen a lot, is that I'll be doing a I have a part of my job right now where I'm talking with someone for most of the day, and we're talking about one thing, like a thing together. So we're looking at something and talking about it. And even while I'm doing that, I can notice in the background, like a voice that's like, you better enjoy this while it lasts. It's going to be, you know, because it's,
wow.
Yeah, it is. It's
God,
really
it's just evil, isn't it? It is truly evil.
Yeah.
So, how are you, are you just kind of hanging on? Is anything working to counteract it, or?
Yeah, so it has felt like hanging on, especially over the last year. But I will say something that has helped a lot. I mean, I think I said the last time we talked that having Sangha in my ears is really, really helpful because, so that helps. And there's a specific thing that you have said before that I've started to practice with, which has been at some point, I think you said something to the effect of what drove you to Zen was like a fear of kind of like ending up in a concentration camp or in a wheelchair or something like these.
Yes. Yep.
And that has been very.
Could I be all right? Could
right.
I be all right? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what you're looking at with this.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, Chris, the fascinating part, of course, it sounds like this is sort of worse than it's been, right? It's ramping up. But the fact of the matter is, I've known you for a while now, you know. And you have faced some things in your life that at that point the voices would have said, yeah, no, no, you can't, you're not going to be able. Is that true?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've come through those. So, you know, our expression, we've been trained since we're small children to go with beliefs over our experience. And this is a perfect example, right? Because your experience tells you that even though the voices have said, you're not going to be able to stand it, you're not going to be able to handle it, you did, you were. That's your experience. You have no experience of not being able to handle something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's really interesting, I think, for us to grapple with that, right? What you actually know to be true and what we're conditioned to believe and the emotion behind what we're conditioned to believe because those beliefs were put in place when we were too little to fight back.
Right, and how much they take to maintain, because
yes,
that's one other way to look at the constant voice that's talking to me, even if I'm trying to focus on something, is like, wow, you have to put in so much, you're pouring millions into this propaganda. You have to keep pumping out propaganda in order to maintain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris, that's so interesting. I mean, we can see in this country that you and I are in, and probably, I'm sure everybody can see it everywhere, but right now, for us, we can see that happening,
yes.
Right? All of the effort to pump in propaganda in the face of what we actually, as people keep saying, we can see with our own eyes what we actually know is true, and which takes us back in terms of practice, of course, to realizing there's that little guy who was trained to be scared. Right? He was scared, and that was encouraged. It was reinforced.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I would say almost all of it unintended,
right?
It's just how it is, but that's what happened to him. And so now, of course, it's going to be up to you to be there for him so that when he is scared, he has a big person that he can turn to who actually has the experience of, we've made it through everything so far.
Right, because that thought, I mean, that turn, like, just it does not bubble up by itself yet. Like, I need to.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so it really is sorting those out, right? That there's somebody who's afraid, and we can sense that it's a little person because it's this unknown, right? It's kind of like a boogeyman in the closet, right? It's just this amorphous, it's just scary. It's just scary, that's all. For an adult, you know, we want to look at it and say, well, now what is there to be afraid of here? What is actually going on, right? And we can look under the bed and in the closet and, you know, prove that there's nothing there. And that's the relationship that we get to be in with those frightened aspects of the personality, right? And so developing that relationship is going to be one part of it. And the real, you know, the previous caller was talking about trying to see the gift in all of this. And that is the gift. Because for you to move into that role with him, you have to be the unconditional love. You have to be the present, here, clear-eyed, know what is so, grown-up.
Mm.
Right? For him. So that's your transformation. And it'll be the love of him, the love that you have for him, that will enable you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that's job one. Was there something about that?
No, well, this might be because we were talking about farming earlier in the call, but I just imagined, like, okay, we've got to be planting, putting those, nourishing that in the garden. You have to.
Exactly. Yeah. Every day. Yes. As simple as you can ask him what he wants to wear today. you know, what does he want for breakfast? What, you know, so that he becomes very real, because he's there all the time, right? And what we learn to do, of course, is because we don't want to be afraid, then we don't want to have somebody there who's afraid. So rather than take care of people who are afraid, we just try to push them down, which is what people did to us, and that's how we got here. So, yes, very much to be in that relationship. And then the other thing that, I don't know, might be helpful, you can try it. I was telling somebody about this last week, but since is the person that you're talking to all day long physically with you, or are they on the phone or on a Zoom?
Yeah, it's either Zoom or we're in the same room.
Okay, because one of the things that you can do is just surreptitiously, however it works for you, but write out three or four things that you want to keep at the front of conscious awareness. And then just train yourself to keep looking at those and reading those so that you are replacing that negative voice in the back of your head with conscious awareness in the front of it. So that you can be interacting with your colleague and you're also getting subliminal messages that you're all right, it's okay, everything is good. Whatever reassurances you would need to be all right in that situation.
Great. Yes, that's definitely something that I can do, even if I'm, you know, in whatever kind of other meeting or something. That's
yes,
absolutely. Yeah, that's a great. And I can already picture what I could write, so I'm going to do that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And you'll let me know.
Yes, assignment has been received. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Experiments are launched.
Exactly.
All right. Take good care of yourself, Chris.
Thank you. Gosho.
All right. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And Sherry, I love those practical tips to move forward to take care of myself. Just love it.
Yes. Yeah. The two things, right? That our transformation requires us to find unconditional love. That's a good thing. And then that we actually can consciously replace that negativity with what we choose. We can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
I'm good. Hello. I wanted to say good afternoon or good evening, but this is Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Hi, Sherry. Good gracious. I'm not sure I can focus on what I was calling in about. I was just listening so intensely to what other folks are going through. And of course, I thought, nothing that's going on with me is just that big of a deal. So
it's a wonderful disidentification exercise, isn't it? Just tuning in and going with other people and going, all right, well, yeah, there's perspective for my life.
There's a lot of that every day, it seems, with listening to what other people are saying and what they're going through, and I think I have nothing I can complain about. But I will share something that is going on that probably I mean, it's always something that I could use some help with, and that is I'm back in a position where I am under the care of an orthopedic doctor and taking more tests to see, what's going on with this chronic pain that's been, part of my
dogging
life.
Dogging you.
A number of years, yeah. So, and it's I'm just getting tired, physically and of course just really psychologically tired of talking about it. And yet I also feel like I have a responsibility to take care of this body or to do the best I can to help the body to recover and not be in such pain. Were you going to say something?
I was, Paula, because I thought, that's one way to look at it, but I would look at it that it's taking care of the body to help the person who is in such pain, right? That, yes, I mean, it is through taking care of the body, but, I often suspect the body doesn't really care.
Well, that's a really good point, and it's probably really good for me to hear that because I was just looking at, being in attunement with whatever is going on, and not just in the world around me, but whatever is going on internally with myself. And I was just noticing that how easy it is to slip into this why bother kind of attitude.
Because
been there, done that, and okay, so this is a new guy and he's got a fancier MRI machine and he thinks he may be able to help me, and it's like I don't know. I don't know who I'm doing it for. Sometimes I'm thinking, who am I?
I think I hear you. first of all, I will say though that, and we've talked about this. I've told you this before. I don't know chronic pain, and I could get on my knees every day and every night and gratitude for that, because I quite frankly don't see how people do it. I really don't. And I've said that to you because I know you've just been in what I would term unspeakable pain for years. And so I can't even imagine, well, I guess I am because I'm coming up with words for it, but the level of exhaustion that must go with that, just exhaustion of dealing with it for day after day after day after day. So, you know, tremendous sympathy for that. So, and I don't want to make it sound like I have anything going on other than that when I say the rest of what I'm going to say, okay?
Yeah.
Because, I have a sense of why bother, right? Because you have people who love you. And, you know, they want you around. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I want to be, even when I get to a really a bad place where I just, you know, I'm wishing that it would just be over.
Yeah.
I do want to be around. I don't want to, you know, I love life. And I like what I enjoy. I just,
just sick and tired of this pain.
Yeah, that's right. And the words are sometimes stronger than that. I'm just really tired.
I just don't blame you a bit for that. And so here's where I got to with it. So I was having a conversation earlier today with Ashwini, as it turns out. And what we were talking about is, you know, with everything, whether it's what's going on in the world now, whether it's what's going on with us as individuals, whatever it is, you know, the place that we can get to is attempting to be as kind and loving as it's possible to be. Right? That's with whatever is happening. That's the peace quote today. It has become, I'm so excited about the peace quote today. I don't know if you read it. But it is, if I can't do great things, I can do small things in a great way.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, I've heard that one before, but that is a really good one.
And so there we are. What can we do? Well, we can be kind. We can be loving, right? That much we can do. So here's this doctor, bless his heart. He really wants to help you, right? He does. He is convinced that there's a good chance that he can, and he wants a shot at it. And so, can it be all right with you that's what he wants to do, and that you can be interested in that and on board with it and whatever.
I like the way you're saying that because it's been an interesting a few weeks lately because I've been really looking at, you know, whose business is it, you know, that to deal with this body, you know, when I'm going to this this new doctor because my primary care recommended him and it's like,
and they all want to do something, right? They just all want to. Don't we all? They just want to help. They just want to make a difference. They want to make it better. And so as long as you are willing to do whatever it is that you're willing to do, for it to be with that attitude, you know, it's a kindness. It's caring. You know, that's what it is. Now, you know, it can be, there are a few things to me as annoying as the medical system, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the same as the people in the medical system, right?
Yeah, that's really helpful because I find myself, you know, it's like I'm losing interest in doing it for myself. I don't mean I need something. I feel like I do need something else to focus my attention on when I go, because I think I wouldn't put myself through this again. But,
yeah.
You know, I see
but
how kind and helpful and what the doctor's
yeah.
attention is really about. And, you know, I went to see my, go ahead.
Well, just one quick thing in there. It
yeah.
can be a retreat. It can be a retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay. You went to see?
Oh, I was just down. I went to my primary care provider, and she said that, you know, I said, well, I kind of felt a little depressed, and she immediately wanted to put me on some medication. And she said, you know, it's just so common. You've had all this pain for so long. And I thought, what am I doing this for? But I am, as we're talking right now, I'm seeing that I'm also doing it for people that I really admire and appreciate. And mm-hmm. it doesn't mean I have to go through a surgery or take a medicine that I truly feel I don't need, but
right.
I can. You're helping me to see that it's helping other people too, and that's an important thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I could just picture your doctor. You know, she just so wants to do something for you, and to receive that, you know, to receive that kindness, that the love that's behind that, and to be really grateful to her for
yeah.
feeling that way, and also to be able to say, oh, thank you. I really don't think I need to take anything. I'm just aware that I once in a while I feel a little depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yep. That's a good way to put it. So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's just where I am, and I want to give somebody else a chance to.
Well, you know what? I'm always very happy and grateful to hear from you, and to hear how you're doing. So, thank you for that.
And I'm very grateful to hear from you as well. To hear whatever you have to say, it always seems to. Been very, very, even if I'm resistant, I'm hearing it, and I do appreciate it, and
good.
I appreciate other people who call in, because, wow,
yeah.
it just puts things in perspective, and that is
yeah.
that is a really important perspective to see what's going on with other folks in the Sangha.
Yeah, 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 it's good. It's
okay.
good. We help each other. All right.
Yeah,
take good care.
Much. You
Thank
too.
You, Paula. Good
Thank
night.
Thank you so much. Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. And wow, that was powerful, Sherry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what we go through. It's yeah. not easy to be a human being. And if we forget that, we will stop being kind to ourselves and others.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, wow. And we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Laura. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Laura.
Hey. Oh, gosh. I'm so glad Paula spoke, because, I mean, it's enough. Everybody, I'm just really grateful to taking it all in. And so many people's themes, or what I'm taking from it is like, the reason why I ended up pushing the button was that bringing to practice things that I would normally, just not. And so I'm exploring this experience of, see, now the voice in my head saying it's so silly to compare it to any of this, but of a hip replacement. So, and.
Oh, yeah, because that's a party. That's the kind of thing people look forward to doing on a weekend off, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the bulk of it being, don't talk, like, ego's already projecting, well, that sounds, God, it's so silly, that practice, you know, you don't do surgeries, right, in practice. You don't, like, a good practitioner, a good spiritual person will somehow be able to, I mean, I had a surgeon 10 years ago who said that he'd be willing to do a hip replacement on me, and I just remember going, I'm actually not in that much pain. I'm good. Like, I'm going to try and find a way maybe I can just never have surgery. But it's coming from this belief that that's the good, right person thing to do.
Yeah. Yes, which, of course, which the advantage to that kind of belief system is, well, you could just then get into unspeakable pain yourself, and then that's what the voices would talk to you about all the time. Because, of course, you shouldn't be having that experience. If you were the good, right person, you wouldn't be in pain, no matter what your hip is doing. So the bones are disintegrating or doing whatever they're doing in there, but if you were the right person, you would that wouldn't be a problem for you.
Yes, and so
does it sound completely insane when I say it?
When I hear you say that, like, so the really interesting part is, like, yes, it does, but, like, not as insane as I think it really should. Like, it should sound.
Yeah, somebody's taking it in and turning it into, well, Sherry said that if you were the right person, it wouldn't matter if your hip disintegrated. You'd be fine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and now, see, when you say it like that, it was like you would never add that last bit because, like, no, that's just really unkind. But it's so amazing how it twists everything to keep me from being able to have the support to explore something that, you know, has a little bit of, you know, it's a little scary, it's a little, right, all of this stuff that I've got to figure out all on my own.
Right. Not, well, no. You, no.
No. Yeah, good point.
You have a consultant there with you.
Yes.
Right, ready to give you the worst advice in the world if you'll just be quiet and listen to it.
Yes, and be totally yanked around about do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it. And again, and like never getting support to find my, like, find my way to what is compassionate.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the name of the game, right? That is the ego strategy. And you're not alone in this, okay? Mm. Over the years, I have marveled at the things that people do not bring into awareness practice.
Mm.
Every big life decision, it occurs outside of practice.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. We talk about all kinds of things, but you've heard me kid about this, right? If it's a big deal, I'm going to look to conditioned mind. I'm not gonna look to spiritual practice. You know, if it's a, should I buy the red one or the blue one? Okay, that's, you know, I can explore that in awareness practice. But if it's money or health or relationship or job or any of that, I don't trust anybody but that voice in my head that hates me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can even see a list in my head as you were talking about that. They're not even big ticket items, but people might have opinions about it, right? And I just don't want to rock any boat. And it's quote unquote. And like, you know, that it's just, wow, that's a controlled human.
Oh, yes. Yes. And when we get what is controlling us and why, now we're on to something, right? Because, you know, the very first caller, we talked about that. You know, to have you home alone, especially maybe in bed at night, when you cannot sleep, especially if there's pain involved, right? Then it can be there just working you and working you and working you and working you. And that's what it's going for. Versus, well, now here's an opportunity. So the suspicion is a hip replacement. Well, then how about hearing from everybody who share that hip? Right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yes.
Why not? It's one of those, you know, where we have a family meeting.
I love that.
Yeah, and everybody gets to weigh in. Everybody gets to express their opinion one way or the other. So the fears, the anxieties, you know, worry, all of those kinds of things. People who are hopeful, people who are really tired of it being the way it is now and would really like something different. You know, just everybody. People who are concerned about work, money, relationship, you know, whatever it is, everybody's got to take. Let's hear. Wow. Let's hear from them.
Okay. Hear from the board. I'm on it. I love that.
Good. Good. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's one of those where I picture, we've probably talked about this, I don't know, but you know, you get all the chairs around the, wait till everybody's out of the house, right? Get all the chairs around the table and then you put, you know, put an outfit on each one or put a piece of paper in front of each one. And then just really spend the time that it takes to get to the bottom of, and what is that viewpoint?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be in a hurry, because that's the place where you know, we really get to then regret.
I love that. That's beautiful. Right. Yep. Gonna do it.
I'm gonna
make it as what would be the word for what you just talked about? I really love it when we make it like bring out the chairs
fun.
And right. Yeah.
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 Make it fun. It's a family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have something nice to eat. Put out snacks. You might be the only one eating them, but you know, you'll enjoy that.
Oh, my God, I love that. That's awesome. Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks.
Go
bye.
Happy. All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And that was fabulous, Sherry.
Who says practice isn't fun, right? We have fun. Yeah, only ego, only those nasty, self-hating ego voices don't have fun. We have fun.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the end of the show. So thanks to you, Sherry. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, everybody.
Everybody. And thank you, Michael.
You
Let's go happy.
You go happy.
All right.